Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting and talented players of this game. And on my right, we have that long-term player of the game who's contributed so much over the years, that is Clement Freud. And sitting beside him, we have that wonderful popular comedian who's such an expert at Just a Minute, that is Paul Merton. And seated on my left, we're delighted to welcome back, after quite an absence, that delightful comedy actress and straight actress, Lisa Tarbuck. And beside her, we welcome somebody who's never played the game before. And we're going to give a warm welcome to that wonderful stand-up comedian and actor now, Jack D. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who will help me with the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Greenwich Theatre in that delightful area of southeast London, Greenwich. So begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, oh yes, what a good subject to begin with. Killing time. Paul, tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I would not like to be in a position of killing time here in Greenwich, but if we think about the phrase killing time, it's different to passing the time. That indicates a hobby. Killing time means that perhaps you've arranged a meeting with somebody, Victoria Station, 3:30, you look at your watch, they're not there, you get a phone call saying we're going to be 35 minutes before we get there. So what do? In that time, you have to find some...
And who has challenged? Clement.
My mistake.
Yes, Chris.
Was that an accident?
My thumb slipped.
So Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point for that, keeps the subject, and there are 33 seconds left. Killing time starting now.
So you have that rather awkward period when you have to decide what am I going to do to occupy my time until these people that I've arranged to meet up with turn up. And so what do you do?
Clement challenge.
Repetition of up.
Nice.
Yes, up. Oh, yes.
Little bit.
Sounds like there's a storm coming.
Clement, you've got a correct challenge. You've got a point for that. You take over the subject. 28 seconds available. Killing time starting now.
In southeast London, killing time is Tuesday afternoon when the most appalling miseries and villainies go on. I have not ever lived on this side of the river. I've never trusted particularly.
Paul challenged.
A repetition of never.
There's two nevers there.
Yes.
Never, never. You look.
Boo.
Yeah. Is he allowed to lead the booing? Is he allowed? Is Clement allowed to lead the booing?
Yes, he's
allowed.
Got a very nice reaction from the boo, didn't he? But it doesn't get him any points. 12 seconds on killing time, Paul, starting now.
The sad thing is, you see some people within the civil service who do nothing but.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, could you just say people before? You were meeting people and nothing happened. Right. So, Clement, you've got in. It's all happening on my right at the moment. And
it is because you've had a stroke. Be fair. It's unfair. Isn't it?
You're absolutely wicked, aren't you? Yeah. Clement, 8 seconds. Killing time starting now.
Suicide time is rather more interesting, I've always felt, especially in Lewisham. Many people who get on a train at Victoria Station...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud, and he and Paul have just been playing the game between themselves for the first round, and Clement's in the lead now ahead of Paul. Actually, according to the sort of pecking order, Clement, it's your turn to begin. But I'm sure we'll hear from you, Jack, and Lisa in a short time. There's plenty of time to go. But, Clement, we've got now loitering with intent. That's the subject. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Loitering with intent lacks a certain immediacy, which you get in killing time. I would very much like either Lisa or Jack to buzz me, because I don't want
Jack.
To...
You have challenged. He wanted you to challenge him, and you did.
Which is a deviation, because that's not in the rules.
That's it.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
So Clement's generosity gets him a point, but Jack, you have a correct challenge. I don't know what for, but it's good enough for me. and you take over the subject of loitering with intent, and there are 35 seconds starting now.
Loitering with intent is that activity where you are seen to be hanging around in any given area, and people assume that you have a malpractice
Paul, you challenge.
A sort of hesitation.
Sort of, yes, definite, I think, really. So, Paul, a correct challenge. 26 seconds, another point to you. Loitering with intent, starting now.
The best way to loiter with intent is to intend to loit. And that's what I always do. Find a dark corner of the street, find yourself fined.
Well done, Lisa.
Two fines.
Two fines. Yep. Well, listen, Lisa, yes. So you've got in with loitering with intent. 13 seconds starting now.
There's a group of kids down my road who, when they all bandy together in their hoodies, look like meerkats wandering around, basically looking for somebody's mum to let them into their flat and allow them to sit.
Jack challenged.
That was a hesitation, wasn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. I'll let you think that.
Jack, actually, I'm the one who decides.
Sorry, Nicholas, it was. I should have asked you. That was a hesitation, wasn't it?
I think in the circumstances, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say it was, but I will redress the balance sometime in Lisa's favour.
I hear that, brother.
Oh, that... That sounded more like a threat.
No, there are no threats here. So, Jack... You have loitering with intent. You've cleverly got in with 3 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And you start now.
Loitering with intent is one of those things that people get up to when they, you know very well.
Paul challenged.
Do we have people before? Repetition of people?
No. I didn't say it.
No.
It must have been me then.
You said it.
I know I've heard it in the last week.
Yes. I don't think Jack said it.
No, OK.
So, benefit of the doubt, Jack, again. And you've got 1 second on loitering with intent, starting now.
Never in my life have I ever...
Well, Jack D was speaking as a whistle-in, gained that extra point, and with a little bit of help from the others, he's now actually in the lead. Yeah. The first-time player of the game gets all the sympathy, Jack. Play on it.
Right. See, another
Paul
threat.
And Tim are following. Threat. Just 2 points behind, then Lisa. And Jack, it's your turn to begin. The subject is The Eternal Optimist. Tell us something about that subject. Starting now.
The Eternal Optimist is how I would best describe myself. Every single morning, I wake up full of sunshine and good hope for the day, only to have that hope soured and...
Paul challenged.
It was a repetition of hope quite quickly.
A bit too much hope there, I'm afraid.
Can I ask the audience not to go, uh-oh, when... That's unfair. That puts me at a disadvantage, and it's slightly humiliating.
Paul, 49 seconds. Tell us something about The Eternal Optimist, starting now.
One of the great giants of silent cinema, Harold Lloyd, portrayed the Eternal Optimist in his films, and this character chimed in very much with the 1920s, the jazz age, the arrival of skyscrapers, cars for everybody, aeroplanes. It seemed like the modern world was here, and his particular aspects on screen used to bring forward all kinds of joyful intrusions. That's not a word, I've made it up. I wonder what it means.
Lisa, you challenged
first. I'd say deviation, actually. Yeah.
So, Lisa, you have a correct challenge. 25 seconds available.
Oh,
The Eternal Optimist, starting now.
I know several people who wake out...
Paul. Hesitation.
So you got it back straight away. Mm. 23 seconds still available, Paul. The Eternal Optimist, starting now.
The Eternal Optimist is perhaps not a particularly bad mindset to be in. Always assuming that something nice is about to happen is perhaps better than fearing the worst at all available occasions. I like to think of myself as somebody who is perhaps eternally optimist...
Clement challenged.
Perhaps.
Perhaps, yes.
Twice. You've
had perhaps before. Well, listen, Clement, a point to you. 9 seconds, Clement, starting now.
Would be someone suffering from Tourette's disease with a speech impediment who wants to be an actor or appear on Just a Minute, alternately some extraordinary...
So, Clement Freud was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's in second place now, one behind Paul. He's one ahead of Jack and a couple ahead of Lisa. That's the sequence. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin. A leap year. Tell us something about a leap year in this game, starting now.
I left the civil service on February the 29th, 1980. I specifically waited for that day to come round so I would never forget it. In fact, this year is also a leap year, so I think that...
Jack challenged.
Sorry, that's a repetition of year, but I'm down. I'm not up with the rules. Are you allowed to say the word again if it's in the title?
Yes, you can repeat the phrase or any of individual words.
In which case, I simply apologise. I'm sorry, Paul. Carry on.
You don't have to apologise.
Well, I feel I should. I'm polite, aren't I?
It was nice to hear from you.
It's Radio 4.
You didn't know the rules, so we won't charge anything. Paul gets a point for being interrupted. Jack gets a point because we like to hear from him and he hasn't played the game before. Right. And there are 51 seconds, Paul. A leap year starting now.
Apparently, a woman can propose to a man in a leap year. I don't know why we should have to wait for that particular...
Jack challenged.
He went off. It was deviation and hesitation over his words.
Make up your mind, darling boy. One or the other. Go for hesitation.
Everything. Hesitation.
Hesitation.
Was,
well done. I thought you'd never get there. Right. Jack, a correct challenge. A leap year is with you now. 45 seconds starting now.
Is it 45 seconds? I've got to talk about a leap year. I wish I hadn't come in now. Yeah. It's one of the...
Jim, what's your challenge?
That's it.
That was hesitation, Jack.
Yes, it was. You would have hesitated if you'd been asked to talk about leap years.
I don't have to. I have to adjudicate. Clement, 40 seconds. You tell us something about a leap year starting now.
A leap year is also known as an intercalary year. Oddly enough, nothing to do with calories which you eat, but with a calendar which...
Paul challenged.
Oh, repetition of calendar.
Yes, that's right. Paul, you have 30 seconds.
Do you remember saying it? Calendar. When it goes out on the radio, tune in, you'll hear it. Calendar.
Who are you?
Who am I? I've no idea.
It's age, what does it?
Is it?
Yeah.
We're in Greenwich, Clement.
But we're going to let you guess which century.
Paul, 30 seconds, a leap year starting now.
I wanted to be a hurdling champion and I thought to myself, I'm going to have to dedicate myself for 12 months.
Lisa, challenge.
To myself.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Petty. Come on, it's right.
Well, listen, Lisa.
The first another point I've got, I think.
A big leap for you. 26 seconds are available. A leap year starting now.
People born in a leap year are commonly known as leaplings, apparently. And the whole leap year thing was set up to make sure that the venal equinox and Easter roughly stayed in about the same place so that you didn't have Easter bleeding into...
Paul Shannon.
Easter.
Paul, you...
Repetition of Easter.
Quite right.
If you don't mind, that is.
But I have to tell our audience, I know you warned, you get your sort of personal prejudices going during the show, but those are the rules of the game. So, Paul, a correct challenge, 12 seconds, a leap year, starting now.
And so I would hurdle as long as I...
Jack, that's a hideous error. You said hurdler before, didn't
that's
you?
That's right, hurdler.
I apologise.
And this was a hurdle, yes, sir.
Dizzy thumb.
9 seconds on with you, Paul. A leap year starting now.
Characterised by the fact it has 366 days in a year, as opposed to the normal year that we're all...
Lisa challenge, yes.
I've done it again. I did it on you. I'm just giving you points. I do apologise.
No, don't. It's quite... I'm back with
it. I just wanted it.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of apologise.
Lisa, you challenge.
I did. Best. Nobody likes a smart ass. But yes. I thank you, sir.
Jack, you want to say
can
something?
Can I take Lisa's buzzer away from her, please?
Yeah. No, she's having a lot of
three
fun.
Three times now she's misused it. Well, it's a waste of everybody's time.
Reprimanded.
It's a very attractive concept, a beautiful woman with an itchy thumb.
Yeah, well, you just had a bubble bath there, haven't you? So...
Paul, a leap year is still with you. Half a second only. Oh, that was a bit unfair. Starting now.
Between the end of January and the beginning...
Well, Paul metaphorically did leap forward in that round on a leap year, and he's now in a strong lead ahead of Clement Freud and Jack D in equal place in second, then Lisa. And Clement, it's back with you to begin. The subject now is radioactivity. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I don't actually know a lot about radioactivity. My activity with radios is confined to switching them on and some short time after that, turning a knob in order to stop the noise emanating from the wireless, which I think is what radioactivity is about.
There's
not a lot else you can say about it.
It was a hesitation.
Yes, it was a hesitation.
Oh, really? Yes.
38 seconds, Paul. Radioactivity starting now.
There is some activity that's absolutely useless on radio. Let me demonstrate.
I should explain to our listeners that what Paul did then was to get up from his seat and leave the stage. And while he is gone, Jack, you pressed your buzzer, and what was it?
It was deviation.
Deviation and hesitation,
deviation,
yes.
Well, deviation from talking. And that's what this is about.
So, Paul, we give you a bonus point because we enjoyed your particular thought and joke. Jack, you have a point because you've got a correct challenge. Radio. You have the subject, and you have 33 seconds. 33 seconds starting now.
Radioactivity is one of those things that we must all be very, very scared... Yeah, OK, the gloves are off. What was it this time?
Lisa.
Very, very. Repetition. Very, very.
It's one of the sort of pitfalls for first-time beginners.
Clearly, thanks for the warning.
Yes. Well, maybe you'll get it back some way.
I will try.
No.
It's just my confidence has gone now.
Lisa. Correct challenge. 28 seconds. Radioactivity starting now.
I like nothing better than to enjoy one of my hobbies, i.e. jigsawing in the kitchen, with a little light radioactivity going off behind me. Usually I plug into something on the speech-making.
Clement challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah. Large.
But you're never going to get it out.
No.
Yes, hesitation. 17 seconds. Clement. Radioactivity starting now.
I had an uncle who was in radioactivity. This was a very long time ago, and radioactivity then was no way as it is now. For instance, if you switch on a light, you would expect the bulb to transmit a certain amount of light, would you not?
Paul.
It's repetition of light.
Yes, switch on a light,
yes.
A certain amount of light.
Yes.
Don't look so shocked, Clement, it's correct. But Paul got in with only half a second to go.
Yeah.
Radioactivity starting now.
If you've got a Geiger count...
Paul Mutton was again speaking of the whistle-weighing game. That extra point has increased his lead. But Clement Freud and Jack Deere still equal in second place, not far behind. And comes Lisa, who's going to begin the next round. Lisa, the subject is My Lucky Day. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I had a wonderful day the other day. It was, in fact, my lucky day. I took the dog over to the park because I've got the decorators in at the moment and there's absolutely no peace to be had anywhere in my house, apart from the dust, which is a separate issue entirely. And the day was a rather delightful, sunshiny one, azure blue, scatty clouds coming across, and the silhouettes of the trees making wonderful shapes, which I personally enjoy when nature decides to hand me a palette such as that. I headed towards the gatekeeper's cottage in there, or the bothy, as it's hilariously known, and asked for some doggy poo bags.
Jack, challenge.
Repetition of dog?
Nope.
No.
Oh, no, it was dog and doggy.
Dog and doggy.
Doggy and dog.
Dog and doggy.
Sorry, Lisa, I apologise. overestimated the...
Do you want to go and stand over there?
Depends
an
what
incorrect
for, really.
Challenge, I'm afraid, Jack.
Been a very
so Lisa has
boy.
Another point. 24 seconds, my lucky day, starting now.
So I get handed these things, and as the guy has given them over to me, he says, because there's a fair amount that won't fit into my pocket, to be fair, he's...
Jack challenged.
Repetition of fair, and there's no Y on the end of either of those, so...
Yeah. 20 seconds.
Probably very few. Okay.
Well, listen, Jack, 15 seconds. It's my lucky day, starting... Now.
My...
Lisa,
hesitation before he came in.
Yeah. Lisa.
It's just not his lucky day, is it?
Right, a bonus point to Lisa because we enjoyed the interruption. But Jack gets a point because he was interrupted. He
yes.
has my lucky day and 14 seconds starting now.
Can I just
now.
Say before it does start that I might actually have to take a breath before I talk, and that's fairly reasonable, I think, on anyone's day, regardless whether it's lucky or not. My lucky day was on last Wednesday when You wouldn't believe it, but the ice cream man came and stopped outside my house. And what was lucky about it is I happened to have £5 in my pocket. He was ringing his bell. I went outside and said, oh, I'd like a 99, please. And he said...
No, I was just confused. I saw 99 as a visual thing and I thought it was a repetition of...
No, no.
But it's not.
No.
I was going to say repetition, but of course it's 92 different words.
He's not really a visual media.
No.
It's not a condition.
Oh, it can be explored. It can be explored.
It can be explored. But Paul was an incorrect challenge. So 99, his visual image, has meant that you have got another point, Jack. Really? Incorrect challenge. And you now have only half a second. On my lucky day, starting now.
Well, it so happened that the vendor of...
So Jack Dee was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. He's doing very well, actually, for a first-time player of the game. We've got somebody way out in the lead there. That's Paul. But Jack's only 5 points behind him. And then Zalisa and then Clement together in the third place. And Jack, we come back to you to begin. The local post office, a very contentious issue at the moment. But talk about that subject. 60 seconds are starting now.
The local post office is one of the best places you can go if you are a trainee armed robber, because they very rarely manage to call the police before you pull the gun out on them. At the local post office, you can buy all kinds of things. I go there for my stamps and usually find that the man behind the counter pulls down his blind just as I approach. You can buy sweets there as well, and newspapers, and if you're very lucky, you live in one of those areas where some kind person will come and put the paper on your doorstep in the morning.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of paper.
Paper.
No, well, newspaper.
Newspaper and then paper.
Yeah, that's news, right. Paper.
No, Clement, you can't get out of it that way, I'm afraid. Jack, 32 seconds. The local post office starting now.
It's all very well calling it the local post office, but if you happen to live nowhere near it, then it's not really local anymore, is it? And that's the point of contention that I brought up with my local post office, saying how dare you call it local when, in fact, it's miles away from my house. The bloke behind the counter was not impressed by that argument.
Paul challenge.
Did we have bloke behind the counter
you
before?
Did have the bloke behind the counter, before.
Yes.
Yeah. We did, yes. And so, Paul, you've got him 15 seconds to go on the local post office starting now.
I remember my local post office very well back in the 1960s. They had this rather extraordinary way of organising queues. People would come in and be expected to stand behind one another. And this was an outrageous thing because you'd go up to the various little gates where people would be working behind and...
Lisa challenge.
People.
Yes. Standing one behind the other, people.
Did I?
Yes.
Early, really early on.
Ah.
Really I'm trying, on. Baby.
In this show?
In this show, yes.
In this show.
It's always going to be people, too, this show.
Lisa, you've got him with 1 second to go.
Hey.
On the local post office, starting now.
Position 9,
Jack
please.
Charles. What was it?
I was just saying this counter's closed now.
Lisa, you have a point. You have 1 second. The local post office starting now.
Stamps are a very interesting thing to collect. Philately.
So, let me give you the situation as we're now moving into the final round in this show. Paul is still in the lead. He's 4 ahead of Jack D, who's done very well for a first-time player. Then comes Lisa Tarbuck, who has leapt forward in that last round, and she's just 1 ahead of Clement Freud as we go into the final round. Paul, we'd like you to start it. The subject is prehistoric woman. 60 seconds, starting now.
Prehistoric woman. We know very little about the creatures that lived before man evolved into Homo sapien, but prehistoric woman is something that we do actually have some information on.
Clement challenge.
Some repetition of.
Yes, some.
Yeah, I've... Yes.
Clement, you got in on prehistoric woman.
Not for the first time.
You do have literal minds, don't you? And you have 48 seconds to tell us something about that experience, starting now.
It is no easy thing to get in on prehistoric woman. I'm not speaking from any experience which I've had, because prehistoric woman has always been anti-post-historic man, which I consider myself to be. At school, prehistory, which is what prehistoric comes from, happened after geography and before trigonometry. I'm not sure why one did all those subjects in places where they said secondary education is our thing. Because take trigonometry. I mean, it is absolutely...
Jack, you pressed your buzzer.
Well, I think that was deviation, wasn't it?
Yes. And you've got away from prehistoric woman onto the educational system. You've got 11 seconds.
Bang
starting...
to rights, Clem.
Right. And you start now.
Prehistoric woman is something that I simply don't understand. To be honest, I don't understand prehistoric.
Paul, challenge.
Why?
Because you repeated understand.
Oh, yes, that.
Yes. That was it, wasn't it, Paul?
Repetition of I don't understand.
Yes.
Either.
5 seconds, Paul. Prehistoric woman starting now.
If we go back to the mists of time, to the Cro-Magnon period, we shall see...
Just a minute, Clement Challenge, what was that before?
Repetition of we in a very short term.
Yes, there were two we's.
I'm incontinent.
So, Clement, you have 2 seconds on prehistoric woman starting now.
Prehistoric woman starting now is something...
Paul, you challenge.
Well, there was a bit of a hesitation there, wasn't there?
No, there was no hesitation. He was building up a wonderful image for us all to go out on as we get into the finale of this show. And you've got... how can it go from 2 seconds to 6 seconds? It's never happened
before.
Is
Stephen Hawking in the building? We've just done something impossible. Right.
So, it was an incorrect challenge, and the whistle started to go, and you got in before that. So, Clement, you have another point, and you have half a second. You have actually minus 6 seconds, but... half a second, prehistoric woman starting now.
Just 66 seconds.
Well, I said that was to be the last round, and let me give you the final score, which is very fair, very close. Lisa Tarbuck, who came back and has triumphed because she's been so lovely with what she's done and said. But she did finish in fourth place, but a brilliant, absolutely brilliant fourth place, Lisa. And Clement was in a very strong third place, and just ahead of him was Jack D, who hasn't played before, remember, a powerful second place. Yes. But out in the lead, 4 points ahead was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 fine players of the game. Paul Merton, Jack D, Lisa Tarbuck and Clement Freud. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with such aplomb. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We're grateful to our producer, to Lucia Gilani, and to this lovely audience here in the Greenwich Theatre, who've cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And next week, Nicholas will be joined by Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Tony Hawkes and Sue Perkins, all trying to speak for Just a Minute, next Monday at 6:30.